for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, May the 29th, 2016. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on deliverance through love in Christ.
I just feel like I received this from the Lord this morning to tell you. The Lord says, little children, why are you afraid? Fear not the fiery trials ahead and behind you, but fear thou the Holy One of Israel, who comes on the clouds with his face shining as the sun. Great was his sacrifice for us. Rejoice, for the times are near and your redemption draws nigh. Love not the things of the world, nor the success in it, but love me and fear thou me, the Lord God of your fathers, who speaks to the inward parts of man and brings life to all those who believe in me. Your sins were crucified at the cross, so leave them there. Your sins were crucified at the cross. Leave them there. For great was the power of sin and death, hell and the grave. My God, great was our sin and the grave, but the life of Christ was greater. His life swallowed up the power of death forever. And he now sits at the right hand of God, interceding for you and me. He cares for you. He loves you. Don't believe the lie that you believed your whole life. Take it to the cross. He died for it. He died for it. Everyone who has a prayer life, you'll be assigned evil spirits to lie to you, distract you, discourage you, to make you feel like the power isn't there. But edify yourself. Build yourself up and pray in the Holy Ghost. Stir yourself up, as the Scriptures say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus.
We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. The Lord says, why do you think I would forsake you? Why do you even think that? How could you think that about me? Haven't I shown you? Haven't I revealed myself to you? Haven't I proven myself to you? Why would you even think that I would forsake you now? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise God. And we understand we're the apple of His eye, folks. Praise God. The apple of His eye. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're so important to Him. He loves you so much. Praise God. Everyone in here, He loves you so much. Praise God. You're so special to Him, so important to Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You. We thank You. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Lord, praise God. You may be seated. It's been good, hasn't it? Praise God. It is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Neese. He's a good preacher, too. Praise God. Came and preached at our church. Good. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And thank God for everyone here. Thank God for all the speakers and staff. And Merrill's somewhere between here and Los Angeles. I don't know where. Anyway, the title of this word this morning is Deliverance through loving Christ. Deliverance through loving Christ. Praise God. Father, I ask you this morning that the Holy Ghost will be upon me to anoint me, that I might preach the gospel this morning of Jesus Christ, who died for us, was crucified for us, and rose again for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the opening of the blind eyes to set at liberty those that are bruised. Praise God. Hallelujah, Father. To bring deliverance. Praise God. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. John 21:15. If you'd like to turn there. First thing I want to say is the Apostle Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Yep.
If we're not careful, we'll make other things the theme of our ministries, of our thoughts. We cannot become just one thing, one part of the gospel. But Christ must always, the Lord Jesus Christ must always be center. Center of it. Nothing else. Can't make it healing. Can't make it deliverance. Can't make it even salvation. Can't make it any of those things. It must be the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me.
Thank you.
Praise God. So we need to lift Him up. And when Paul said that, you know why I believe he said it was because he loved Jesus so much.
Yeah.
That's who he wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
That's who he wanted. That's why he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's so in love with Jesus. And I'll tell you who we're in love with is who we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
That's who we're going to talk about, whoever we're in love with. Praise God. So John 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, now, why had they eaten breakfast and where did that breakfast come from? You know, Peter had denied the Lord. This is exactly like Jesus said. Three times. Last time he cursed, he went out. The Lord turned and looked at him. I don't believe he held his fist up or clenched it. He's not doing that to you or me. But he went out. Peter went out and wept bitterly. He repented. But he got discouraged and went back fishing, took others with him, other disciples. His seven of them went back to their own trade. You know, what he used to do before the Lord called him away from that. And isn't God good? How many times has He come to you in your failure, your discouragement, and brought you back?
Amen.
And that's exactly what He did. That's the love of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, He could just say, well, if that's the way you feel, just go to hell, and I'm tired of fooling with you. But He didn't. That's not it. That's not the Lord. That's not what He does. And so He... They came to the shore and he said, well, children, have you caught any fish? They said, no. Told all night they didn't catch anything because you'll never catch anything out of the will of God. You can get some stuff, but you're not going to get what God wants you to get. And so he sent them back out, said, cast your net on the other side. They went out and, you know, caught 153 great fish. And John is the first one to recognize who this is. Their eyes were holding that they couldn't know who he was. And he said, it's the Lord. And Peter cast himself in the water and swam to shore. You know, the boat's too slow. He's going to get to him. And he gets there and he said, bring your fish. But he had bread and fish on the fire. I mean, this is awesome, folks. And he would have breakfast for these pitiful group of men. Already discouraged. How many times have you been discouraging and decided to go back on God? Or quit. I'll just quit, you know. Some of you quit going to church even. You quit, and maybe some churches you need quit going to, but you quit going. And so praise God, he has bread and fish on the fire, but then he's there for a purpose and he goes right to it. And he says, so when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Do you believe Peter knew this was coming? Well, praise God. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, you can take that two ways. It can be applied two ways. One, more you still think you love me more than these other disciples. You say, though all men forsake you, I'll never forsake you. You still think that. That's still your mind. See, we say a lot of things that we can't back up. It's just not there. And then, praise God, but then he could be saying to him, do you love me more than fishing? I called you out of this. Do you love me more than that? And this morning, the Lord wants to say to some in here,
Do you love Him more than that stuff you're so involved in? Do you love Him more? Let some of that go. I remember as a young man, I had a pastor, and he would have his boat behind his truck and his fishing gear in there, and as soon as service was over, he was out there to the lake he went. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with fishing. I got a grandson that's fished almost the whole time he's been here. But I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But it just sent a message. You know, it just sent a message to the church, you know, what that man's life was. But he said, "Do you love me more?" And so Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." You can't hide that from the Lord. You can't hide it from Him, whether you love Him or not. Then Jesus said to him, let me say this. The love that you think you have for Him now, if you'll receive this, can be so much greater as you go along.
Yes.
It ought to be. It ought to be growing.
That's right.
It ought to be going to He's your first love.
That's right.
He told that one church there in Revelation, you left your first love. And let me say this, we love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
It wasn't our idea, it wasn't in us or of us to do it. But what it's like the woman that they complained about her. She was a sinner woman. They said, well, if he's a prophet, he'd know what she is, and he wouldn't let her touch him. Oh my. Wouldn't let her touch him. We go under the bridges there in Dallas and feed those people, and I was telling some at breakfast, when you're praying for them, they're putting their hands all over you like this. And it's not the cleanest place, okay? And they're not the cleanest people. And I'm just sorry. I was thinking the first time that happened, whoa, wait a minute. Don't you give me any of your diseases or whatever. Hey, come on now. At least we went under the bridge. The disciples won't go under there. So the first place we got where this place I could wash up, I did all of my arms. And, you know. But I heard of a pastor that he had a prayer line after he got through praying for me, walked right over there and got the hand sanitizer, you know, right in front of his people. What's that saying to them, you know? But they said, well, if he's a prophet, he'd know who's touching him. But what did he say? What did he say to the Pharisee? He said, he that's forgiven much loves much.
Yeah.
Maybe the reason you don't love him very much is because you just don't think you did that much wrong and you don't really see how... We had a demonstration here a few minutes ago, Brother Denise up here, realizing what God's forgiven him of. I tell you, we're broken and weeping, realizing what He's done for us. You weren't almost saved when He saved you. You might have thought, boy, God got a prize when He got me. No, He didn't. He got a bunch of junk. Right. Nasty stuff when He got you and me. Altogether different from Him. Praise God. Well, then Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, Jesus said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, tend my sheep. And Jesus said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because Jesus said to him the third time, do you love me? Now we're talking about deliverance through loving Christ. Peter said to him, Lord, you know all things. Right? Nothing's hidden from him. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And then Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, Peter, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go or do not wish. And this Jesus spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to Peter, follow me. Now what the Lord said to Peter says to all of us, and he said it this morning, and he says it a lot of times, do you love me? You know, my wife, when she was living, she had often asked me, do you love me? Would you marry me again? Praise God, isn't that sweet? But, you know, they want to know. And I would realize that the fact that she was having to ask me, I wasn't saying it enough. He said, well, she ought to know. No, you need to say it. That's something I practiced. My dad, I never heard my dad, I'm not sure about my mother, but I never heard my dad one time growing up tell me that he loved me. I knew he did, but he just couldn't get the words out. You know, he wasn't raised that way. And so when we were older, I wanted to repair my relationship with him, because at one time I hated him, and that was wrong. But he was very cruel, very hard, very harsh, and I wanted to repair that. So I would start telling him, I love you. When I talked to him on the phone, I'd say, I love you. He just couldn't get it out of his mouth. It just wouldn't come out. And my sisters, they started too, you know. And it got to where he would say, I love you first, praise God. But God wants to know, do you love him? Jesus wants to know this morning, do you love him? And why are you here this morning? Are you here because you got a devil on your back you need to get off? Or are you here because you love Jesus? Why are you here? God knows. What do you say? Lord, you know all things. Why are you here? And I tell you, if you're not here because you love him, I don't care how many demons cast out of you, they're going to come on back and bring some worse than they were, because you don't love him. Quit using him and start loving him. Praise God. Seek his face and not his hands. Praise God. Now, the Lord wants to know if we truly love him, even to the point of dying for him. Isn't that where he took Peter in this conversation? I mean, the whole thing is, we have to see is this. The Lord is proving this man. The man can say, we can say, sing all day long, oh, how I love Jesus, but we're going to have to prove it. He's going to see to it that we prove it.
Yeah.
Most would reply that they love the Lord, but just as the Lord requires something of Peter to prove that he loved him, so the Lord requires of all of us. Not everyone loves the Lord, and far many more hate him than love him. I tell you either love Jesus or you hate him. There is no in-between, regardless of what people say. You know, the politicians hate Jesus. They'll say, they'll talk about God, but oh, they're not going to say that name, Jesus. He's not going to say it. It's not politically correct, and it doesn't get votes, cost them votes. Those that refuse to hear it, I don't know. It's like, I don't know how a used car salesman could be saved. And I don't know how a politician can be saved. Those that refuse to hear his voice and obey him, to obey the Lord, they are the ones that hate him. They will not obey him. They will not hear his voice. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And I don't know how you're working on that, but we're supposed to be working on being able to hear his voice.
Amen.
That's priority. And the things that are coming, folks, on this nation,
yes,
and on this earth, if you can't hear his voice, you're in big trouble. And I don't mean wait till apocalypse comes or whatever you think's coming. I mean, you better be learning his voice now so you can be prepared.
Right.
You've got to hear his voice. You've got to know his voice. Those that do hear his voice, let me say, I was going to preach on something else, but I'll just say this. Thank God that Noah could hear his voice.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be here if he couldn't. You know what? We would not be here if he couldn't. I know Adam's our father, but so is Noah. That's right. Praise God. Those that do hear his voice and do obey him prove that they love him. It's true that Noah saved only himself, his wife, his three sons and their wives, but he also saved us. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now that's very true. But those that do not prove that they love Jesus, how do you prove it? By hearing him and obeying him, will remain lost. They will die in their sins, no matter how many professions of faith they make, how many sinner's prayers they repeat, how many times they sing, oh, how I love Jesus. It's right that we tell the Lord we love him. We should, we must. But we should tell him we love him. And often, we need to say it often, for he wants us to do this. He wants to hear it from us. And that's the highest form of worship. And that's the first commandment, right? But there must also be a performance or proof of the words we speak. The Scripture says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be also a performance out of that which you have. The only people that the Lord can say, listen, the only people that the blood of Jesus can save are those that prove they love him. We either love Jesus or we hate Jesus. There's no neutral ground on this. Then verse 11, as they heard these things, he said he came to seek and save that which was lost. He added and spoke a parable because he was near to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Now this infatuation with a physical kingdom of God and of Israel being restored on earth was prevalent up to the very hour that the Lord was about to ascend into heaven and return to his Father. Remember what they asked Jesus? Will you now restore the kingdom? He says, not for you to know the times or the seasons.
Yeah.
Get your focus off that. He said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, not for me, but unto you. You'll be what I am when you receive this power of the Holy Ghost. But Jesus answered, it's not for you to know times of the season, which the Father has put in his own power. Then the Lord proceeded to tell him that the important thing is for his followers, as I said, to receive this power. And so it is still today, the church is more interested in a physical reward if it's just being saved. Or if it's just getting delivered from things that are embarrassing you, are threatening your marriage, your job, your life, you know. It's more than that. Praise God for that. Amen. Praise God. He takes care of the whole man. He'll make us whole. But they're just interested in the physical reward more than they are in the spiritual relationship and oneness with Christ. The whole thing of salvation can be summed up in this: we become one with Jesus.
Amen.
You read John 17. That's what he said there in his high priestly prayer for us.
Yeah.
Our assignment is to become what Jesus is, a witness unto him or of him, not to wait around for a physical kingdom or to attempt to create such a kingdom on this earth that is only for the Father's power. That's saying a lot right there. You think, why do you say that? Because there are people caught up in that. They're going to bring Jesus back. They think they're bringing back when they set up the kingdom for him. Oh my goodness. You know, this is crazy stuff that people are all involved in now. How did they get into that? Well, they didn't love the truth. That's why. They love the truth. And who is the truth? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember whom the kingdom belongs to, and it belongs to the Lord. Verse 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. Now, don't get too caught up in occupying, though. You're occupying why? For him. You're doing his work. Keep your focus on him, not on the occupy. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us or reign over us. That's what the whole world's saying right now. That's what's going on right now. That's what all this is about. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, right outside of Silver Springs there was a bar, a beautiful log building, and the name of it was Bustin' Loose. Bustin' Loose. They don't want him to reign over him. They want to bust loose. Everybody, the people want to bust loose. That's why the Supreme Court is, you know, the Roe versus Wade. That's why all this is, folks. It's all an attempt to bust loose and do what the world wants to do.
Yeah.
Why are they doing it? Because they don't love Jesus.
Yeah.
Just as the Lord required Peter to prove his love by obeying him, why did they stone Stephen to death? Well, they didn't comb his hair right. Or whatever. No, they stoned him because they hated Jesus. And the man talked about Jesus. He determined to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen. Amen.
I'll tell you what, if we really preach Christ, the crowds are not going to be that big. That's right. They're going to go over there when they hear about, I've watched it on TV. There's a preacher one time, and he's telling them all the good things God's going to do for them when they gave him the offering. Well, that's what it came down to. And then he told him, God's going to send you a husband. You never saw so many women jump up on their feet and shout and clap in their hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just as the Lord required Peter to prove his love by obeying him no matter what the cost. Even if he meant die. So these citizens were required to occupy or obey him until he returned. But these citizens were rebellious because they hated the Lord instead of loving him. They were of those that loved their own selves rather than Christ. Those that love the Lord will obey Him, but those that hate Him will refuse to allow Him to rule over them.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. To have the Lord to rule over us means that we will obey Him no matter the cost to us. Verse 27, but as for those enemies of mine which did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them before me. Just as there's a reward for obeying the Lord, there's a cost to disobeying the Lord. But love must be proven. Praise God. 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is a commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Whosoever believes that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loves the Father loves his children that have been born of him. This is talking about physical creation. And it's also talking about our brothers and sisters, certainly in the Lord. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. That's strange, isn't it? You ever thought about that? You prove you love God by loving the people of God. And that's to keep His commandments. What did He say? The whole law is bound up in two things. Love God with all your total being and love your neighbor as yourself. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous, regardless of what the flesh says about it. And when we truly love the Lord, then pleasing Him is never grievous to us, no matter what our flesh desires. Now, is this, and I ask you this morning, is this commandment grievous to you? John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. You know, real prejudice, bias, all those things will never leave until the Holy Ghost can love through us. Until He can love through us, love souls through us. Most of us, we're like Jesus said, we love those that love us, hate those that hate us, hate our enemies. But to come to a place in God where we can love the unlovable, I mean the unlovable. I remember when I was young, I was checking out people in the cash register, and there's this lady came by, and she was a white woman, and she stunk so bad I tried to hold over like that. She had flies fall on her.
Oh.
I mean, just swarming around her. And but she pulled out a wad of money. Anyway, and I'm glad the Lord didn't ask me to prove that I loved her. I can guarantee He's going to send people by to test you on that. And we've already failed so many times we can't count. And we'll have a scripture for it too. You know, to distance ourselves from them. You can find the scripture to back up anything you want to believe or say or do. You can. And I believe the Word of God is that way on purpose. Amen. And how did Jesus love us? He laid down His life for us. But as we cannot just say we love the Lord, so we cannot just say we love our brother or sister. 1 John 3:14, we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. That's real interesting. Now we know why some people seem to be so dead. They have no love for the brethren. They're in death. They're abiding in death. Verse 15, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Am I reading some obscure verses you didn't know were in the Bible? How long somebody read these verses while they were preaching? Oh, we have our favorite verses, don't we? It's like that promise book I was growing up that's on the kitchen table. You draw out a promise. Never drew out a command, never drew out a rebuke. It's all promises. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?
Amen.
My little children, let us not love in word or in speech, but in deed and in truth. If you saw your brother in need and you had the means to help him, and you don't help him, then the love of God doesn't abide in you. That's why I don't know how, and I'm going to get on something that makes some people unhappy or uncomfortable. How can a child of God drive around in a very expensive automobile, live in a very expensive house? That's all I want to, as far as I want to get with that. But and lives, you know, the rich man fared sumptuously and was dressed in very awesome clothing. And there was a man named Lazarus laid at his gate. He never went out to check on him. He never said, "Brother, you shouldn't be out here. Come on in." "What?" "Yeah, come on in. Come on in my house." That's a hard part, isn't it? As most of us sitting here right now, you would no more let them in your house. It's like the man that I have a friend, and he's a prepper. And he showed me all this food that he had hidden. And his safe room where the wall, you know, couldn't tell that it was a door. I thought, that's so silly. You live in a wooden house. They can see right they didn't know you're in there. But he showed me all his guns. And I said, "Well, what are they for?" And he said, "Well, anybody tries to get my food, I'm going to shoot them." Well, praise God. I said, "Shoot them. You're supposed to feed them."
Amen. That's right.
And don't you sit over eating steak while you're giving them the crumbs like the rich man, you know, gave to Lazarus. Remember, when the rich man died, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Hell! Hell! H-E-double-L. That's where he went. That's not a cuss word, unless you make it one. I knew a guy, he's older, he's dead now. His first name was Gay. That's before gay was a bad word. And we do not regularly give out, if we do not regularly give up our substance to God, then we do not love Him. If we do not regularly give out our substance to His followers that are in need, then we do not love them. I know that's, one time I was riding back from Mexico with an evangelist that I knew very well. And he's got all his ducks in a row. Y'all know what I mean by that? All his, financially, he's got all his ducks in a row. That bothers me. I preached a message on that one time. All your ducks in a row. You got your insurance. You got this. You got that. Your retirement. Everything is fixed. You know, you wouldn't need God. You just wouldn't need Him. But you've got all your ducks in a row. And I was talking to him about giving it all to the Lord, you know, and not having, relying on these things and all. And the further we went, the quieter he got. Until I could tell he wasn't happy with what I was saying. I really messed up one time. It wasn't funny then, but I was preaching at the Presbyter's church. He asked me to come and preach for him. And I was preaching about driving new cars. And you know, instead of... Now, y'all, I'm sorry I'm so radical. Please forgive me. Okay, don't get your feelings hurt this morning. Don't walk out. But I was preaching about a new car, and all of a sudden, got so he just bought a new car. And, somebody gave me a car, a brand new car. Some people say God gave me a car and they're making payments, but God gave me a car and it was free. I mean, absolutely, including the insurance on it. But that's the only reason I'd ever had a new car. Am I making anybody uncomfortable?
No.
All right. Praise God. I don't want you to get upset with me. And it wasn't until after church I found out why they all got quiet. But you don't really need a Fleetwood Cadillac, you know, a Cadillac Fleetwood, whichever it is. However, I did get to ride in it. The only thing is, anywhere we parked, he parked way out there in the back 40, so nobody could get in his car. And I drive an old truck. If you dented it, it'd be hard to tell which dent you put in it. Praise God. Love it. Praise God. I'm getting way off on it. Well, how do we love Him? We love Him because He first loved us. He proved it by coming and dying for our sins, and we need to prove our love to Him. We will be put in situations where we have to prove that we love Him. I guarantee you that. So everybody's turned on you. Nobody loves you, and you think you'll eat a worm and poor you, and and you just sold down. Big deal. Love him. Love him. I don't even, why would those things even affect us as long as we're loving Jesus? Let the whole world turn on you as long as Jesus loves you. The only person you need is Jesus. If we ever get to thinking we love someone other than Jesus, that's right there is where the devil can come in and destroy you. If you think you need anything or anyone, we are complete in Jesus Christ. Praise God. If He's still loving us today, if He was not still loving us today, then we could not be loving Him. Praise God. How did Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tearing the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Let me tell you this one, you'll never love Him except by the power of the Holy Ghost. You cannot, we cannot. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given unto us. Only when that Holy Ghost gets in you and starts working in you can you really love the Lord. Galatians 5:22-23, and what is it? The first fruit of the Spirit, love. It's a fruit of the Spirit to love Him. Praise God. You know it's not our faith, right? You know that it's by the faith of Christ. It's not our love. It's the love the Holy Ghost puts in us to love Him.
Yes.
Now, I want to talk about the results of loving the Lord. The more that we love Him, the more He loves us back. It's not fear that will keep us from sinning against Him. Rather, it's true love for Him that will prevent us from displeasing Him, grieving Him, sinning against Him. It's loving Him. If you're afraid of someone, and it's, you won't disappoint or disobey them unless you thought you could get away with it somehow while they're not looking or whatever. But if you love someone, it doesn't matter if they're looking or not looking. You're going to do what they ask you to do because you love them. And if you're serving the Lord out of fear this morning, you're not going to do what you need to do. We must serve Him out of love. We worship Him out of love, not to hear our voice. You know, not for people to applaud us or not for anything. We don't preach for that reason. We preach because we love Him. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And because we love Him, we love those people we're talking to, or singing to.
Amen.
We love their souls, praise God. Love them. We don't go under the bridge so we can take pictures. You know, and get people to send us money. You know, we need your help so we can buy food for these poor people. You know, we don't do that. We go there because we love them. And it's the most interesting thing. Mostly it's the younger ones, not all, but I'm not younger, but going under the bridge. But I mean these young 20-somethings that are going under there with us. And I turn around, I see tears in their eyes. And every one of them will tell me that they feel God under there, feeding those people. I mean feel God. And nobody's dancing in the Spirit or falling out in the Spirit or running around the tents. You just, God's presence is under there because you're doing what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
Praise God. Find somebody hungry and feed them. Hallelujah. Just let the Lord show you how to do all that. Now, when Joseph was being tempted by that woman, you know who I'm talking about. And he answered, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Genesis 39:9. Do you think he said that because he was afraid of God? Or do you think he said that because he loved God? I believe he loved the Lord.
Yeah.
He loved him. How can I do this? Oh, I tell you what. You say, I just keep falling for this temptation. One time the Lord, I was being tempted in something. The Lord just asked me point blank, you love them more than you love me? Who do you love the most? He said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Praise God. Die for me if you love me. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6:15, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he that is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For two said he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, Joseph loved the Lord too much to take his body and join it to that simple, sensuous woman that did not love the Lord. I can't do this. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. How can I take the temple of the Holy Ghost that dwells in me and join it to this woman? How can I join it to this or join it to that or whatever you're having a struggle with? He knew that he could not be one in the Spirit both with the Lord and with that lusting woman. We cannot take our body, which belongs to the Lord, you know, he bought us, we're bought with a price, we're not our own, and join it to that which belongs to the devil or to any activity that's of the devil. We must not be regulated, driven by, or obey that which feels good to the flesh and fulfills the lust of the flesh. But rather, we must desire with all our heart, even unto death, to please the one that loves us and bought us with his own blood. We cannot easily sin against someone we truly love. This is the test of our love. It is. You'll be tested. I'll be tested. We will, many times perhaps. I know a young man that was really tempted. He was tempted. And he said, well, I can't do that. I have a wife, and I love my wife. And can we say I can't do that because I love Jesus? He's my Lord, and I'm his bride. Praise God. I'm a spouse to him. Rewards for loving Christ. Those that truly love Christ will receive rewards, but those that hate him will surely perish. I want to talk about the reward of the manifestation of Christ. When we love him, he'll manifest himself to us. Philippians 3:7. For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. Praise God. But those things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. When we things that were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Nothing is going to stand between me and the Lord, my Savior, my lover. Let me tell you something this morning. If he's not your lover, he's not your Savior.
Amen.
I don't know, there may be some in here that you've never even felt the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It's because you're chasing everything. You're using him. You want him to do things for you instead of love you. And you love him back, praise God. When we truly love Christ and we're very willing to lose everything and anyone to him so we can have him and know him. Verse 8, yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. When we truly love Jesus, that's what Paul's talking about. When we truly love him, then everything else will seem as dung and garbage to us. Jesus will no longer, and let me say, well, now look here, we're supposed to love our wives as our own bodies. Yes, I understand that. But if you love Jesus first, you'll love your wife like you ought to. And you'll love her in the right way, and you'll love her better. And she'll change towards you too. Praise God. Jesus, she won't just be the old woman. And he won't be that old man. Oh, praise God. You know, I think one of the most disrespectful things I ever heard in my life is a woman talking about her husband in front of other people or vice versa. Especially if they're standing there. This makes you want to slap them. Jesus will no longer be just an addition to what we are. Or what we have. Is that all he is to you? You just added him to what you are. We heard that in one of the, I believe last night. They add him to their other idols. But he's not just an addition. And this is the ultimate insurance policy. Hellfire insurance. You know, this is it, right? Put that up there or put that in the safe with the others. Not just an addition to what we are and what we have, but he'll be everything to us. Is he this morning everything to you? Would you give up anything, anyone, everything, everyone for him? He knows. And he's asking, do you love me? Will we come to consider that we're complete only in him? Now we're willing to lose all to win Christ. All to win Christ. Yes, we'll throw away anything and everything that gets in the way of our knowing him. Verse 9, and be found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Right now, right here, we can take a test to see if we really love Jesus by answering this simple question that we found in this verse. What are we found in And who are we found in? What are you found in this morning? What? You know, Jesus said, Satan has come and found nothing in me. Can anyone question the love that Jesus had for his Father? Can we question that? I'll tell you, nothing's going to come between him and his Father. No one, nothing. And so, what are we found in this morning? In other words, what or who consumes our time, our efforts, our money, our loyalty, our thoughts, our passion, our desires? What consumes you? Verse 10, then I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now, knowing Jesus is everything. You can't love him unless you know him.
Oh.
You cannot love him unless you know him. That's impossible. He said, how can you say you love me whom you've not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen that you do know? But you know, we can't love him unless we know him. Now just think about that for a minute. It's impossible. We might run our mouth, I just love that. You know, I just love that. I just love whatever. Of course, that's in the flesh you're saying it. And we're not to know anyone after the flesh. It's not what you know, it's who you know that counts. Amen?
Amen.
I remember when I was in high school, and I started working when I was 16. Been working ever since. Well, I worked before, but not, you know. But I've been working. And there was this one guy there. And we start out sacking groceries and carrying them out. You know what I'm saying. And it was A&P Food, the Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company. Anybody ever heard of him?
Yeah.
A&P. They're almost gone, aren't they? And I started, and there was this one guy. I had to carry packages for a solid year. But this other guy, he got to checking. Long before I did, but you know why? Because he was always, I'm afraid to say some things. Brown nosing, sucking up to or something. The boss. And I saw that, but I just couldn't do that. I'm not that way. And maybe another reason was because I was so dumb. One time they had, the store was up pretty high, and they had like three steps to go down to the parking lot, or they had a ramp. And so, I was carrying out packages, and I went down the sidewalk. And I get one sack, and I walk down the three steps and go around, open the door, put it in, walk back up, get the sacks. A sack, walk down, go around, put it in, walk back up. And Orley Marshall, we call him Chrome Dome, he put his head out the door and yelled at me, "What are you doing?" I put groceries in here. He said, "You see that ramp? You go down that ramp and you go behind the car and you put them in the car." Are y'all catching this at all?
Yeah.
Three steps down, three steps. Are you catching that? But you go down the ramp, come back there, and just put them in. Maybe that's why I was a package boy for a long time. One time he told me I better get me an office job. One time I was stocking cans, and I picked cans up, put it on the shelf, picked cans, put it on the shelf. He come by and said, "How many hands you got?" I said, "Two." He said, "Well, I'm paying you for both of them." It's like this. It's a wonder I got here. Fell off a turnip truck somewhere. I don't know. That's all I'm going to tell about him. Story goes on, but you don't need to hear it. Praise God. Thank God for the man. He helped me. Well, it's not what you know, it's who you know that counts. Now, we cannot just know the Lord in the fellowship of His gifts, His keeping power, His protection, His healing power, His provisions, but we must know Him by dying with Him, that I might know Him, His suffering, you know, His sufferings. Are you willing? Do you love Him that much? Will you go that far with Him? Will you go that far with Him? We must die to everything else and everyone else if we intend to know Him in the resurrection from the dead. We must go to the cross with Jesus. What did Jesus say? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know what? He must be to us the pearl of great price. that the man sold everything that he might buy that pearl of great price. Is he that to you this morning? Is he the pearl of great price? Praise. Is he the field that you'll sell everything? There's a treasure in the field. You'll sell everything to buy that field so you can have that treasure. Is he to you? Praise God. We cannot know Christ unless he's manifested to us. John 14:21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and we will love him and manifest ourselves to him. What did he say? What is he that has my commandments and keeps them? He's the one that loves me. Well, where's that put us this morning? The manifestation of Christ is a very powerful work. This, I don't know if it's happening in your life. I don't know if he's being manifested to you inwardly. Okay. There's the outward manifestation of Christ and the inner manifestation of Christ. And they're different. The outward manifestation of Christ is by signs, wonders, preaching, teaching, all those things. Outward manifestations. They will not save you. They will not make you like Christ. They're intended to draw you to him. That's the purpose. It's a sad thing that some people mistaken that and they go after the outward manifestations instead of after Christ. Only the inward manifestation of Christ can change us. What did he say in 2 Corinthians 3:18? As we behold him in a mirror, we're changed. A mirror means we see his exact image. As we behold him, we're changed into the same image from revelation to glory to glory, revelation to revelation, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the inward revelation, Christ being revealed in us, that changes us. In fact, Jesus said in John 16 that he said, the Holy Spirit will take the things of mine and show them to you. He will not speak of himself, but he'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit that reveals Christ in us. You'll never know, I'll never know the Lord unless the Holy Spirit is revealing him in me. That is what changes us, not the outward revelations. I've seen people, you perhaps have seen people, get so blessed. I mean, blessed out of their socks. You know, they used to say the old Pentecostal women dance and then shake the bobby pins out of their hair. But then before they get home, they lost whatever they had. Right? That doesn't change you folks. And you know that's true. Oh, if I could just fall out on the floor, I'd be changed forever. No, you won't. No, you won't. Somebody step on your hand while you're there and you'll see how changed you are. Hallelujah. I've seen them in my church. I've seen them get they got blessed and then an argument out in the lobby before they even get out of the building. It doesn't change you. It's to draw you to him. Thank God for them. I love it. Don't you love that? Oh, hallelujah. But it's the inward revelation, that quiet inward, when the Holy Spirit is revealing Christ in you. That's the only way you'll ever know him. That's the only way I'll ever know. Please hear what I'm saying. And that's the work, the office, the responsibility, the call of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit down from heaven to fill us, to fill these vessels, that he might reveal Christ in us. And as we behold him, there's power in beholding him. As you behold him, you're changed in the same image. It's not studying, folks. There's a man there. I need to be careful. Peerless. And it's a good man, but he's got a bag. He carries around a stack of books. And he's searching. He's reading those books. But and I've told him, you ain't going to find there's no revelation in those books. The Holy Spirit's got to come in and reveal Christ in you.
Yes, amen.
Read all the books you want to. Listen to all the tapes. Listen to all the sermons you want to. Learn everything you can learn. You still be whatever you are. Just ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, the word manifestation means to make evident, obvious, apparent, plain to the understanding, to show plainly, to disclose, declare, make known, to prove, or put beyond a doubt or question. Unless he chooses to manifest himself in us, we can never know him or enjoy a relationship with him. But many think that they're Christians. Many who think they're Christians have no desire to know Christ. There's two kinds of people on the church pew, or in the world, we'll say that. But in the church pew, those that know about him and those that know him.
Yeah.
Whom to know is life. He's for many of them, Jesus is only a means to an end. Verse 22, Judas said to him, "Not a scared Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If any man loves me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." You know, he said, "I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you an orphan." And that's what's wrong with a lot of people, church people, is they're orphans. They don't have the comforter. They might have spoken tongues at some point. I personally believe this. I mean, you believe whatever you know you want to believe. But I personally believe that the Holy Spirit comes upon us, yes. But He must come in us. Seen a lot of people the Holy Ghost is on, but He didn't get in them. "He that loves me not keeps not my sayings." Well, that's powerful, isn't it? You're not obeying Him, you don't love Him. That's period. "And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." And that really puts a lot of responsibility on us hearing the word and obeying it, because it's the Father's words. In this world, as I said, there's only two kinds of people, those that Christ has manifested Himself to and those that are receiving the manifestation inwardly of His person. Those that neglect or refuse to obey His words will not see Him or know Him, for He will not manifest Himself to the disobedient. He gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. To what level is He manifesting Himself to you this morning? Is it the level that John received? You read that in Revelation chapter 1. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a voice like a trumpet. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were like white wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man." I'm going to tell you when the Holy Ghost really... here's how you know when the Holy Ghost really comes. They won't be clapping, laughing, and doing all this lot of stuff you see. They'll be on their face. That's when He really comes, we'll be on our face.
Yes.
Yeah, we got our spiritual funny bone tickled. Somebody got us worked up. You know, there's a lot of cheerleaders. I told you that the other afternoon. A lot of cheerleaders know how to work that thing. I refuse to do it. If the Holy Ghost doesn't move someone, then I'm leaving it alone. And I'm not going to work to get money out of you. If the Holy Ghost doesn't move on you to give, leave it alone. Not of necessity. Not grudgingly. But God loves a cheerful giver. And not because you promised somebody they're going to get a new car. Or get your blessing, you know. I heard a preacher on TV. I have a TV, but it's when the grandkids come, they can watch videos I approve of, but I don't have a TV now. I'm not going to spend the money on that. How many hundreds of dollars are you spending on satellite TV? Huh? And how much are you spending on cell phones? Ooh, did that hit somebody? Praise God. But you can't help the poor. And when the offering basket comes by, I'll dig in there and see if you got a little change. Spending more on hearing what the world has to say than on what God has to say. Ooh, isn't that good? Praise God. Well, anyway, we'll fall as dead men. And what did the Lord have to have to touch him? Give him strength to even get up again. You ever been like that? One time I was at a church. I think I was going somewhere and I forgot, but I'll tell you this. A friend of mine that I grew up with in Dallas, he had become an evangelist, and he was preaching at another friend's pastor's church, so I went to hear him. And so the whole production, you'll see why I say that, was on the platform. And the people were to come around this side and come up there, and he'll slap them on the head, and they fall down, giggle, laugh, jump up, run around, get in line again. I'll tell you, that's what they were doing. Oh, my God. Then turn the things of God into a circus. No, if he really touches you, he's not going to be jumping up, giggling and laughing. When I first went to Peerless in the old church, I told you about that church. The restroom is out by the back fence with the wasp spray and the toilet paper and the lime. The lime has a purpose. Some of you will know. And that's where the restroom was. And there was no running water, no air conditioning. This is something. I could go on and tell you. I could paint you a picture. Well, anyway, there was a lady. She'd gone off and she was in. The family was in the church when I came there. They made a suggestion. There was where Cooper Lake is now. That used to, you could drive across to the town of Cooper. But there was a slab they poured on both sides of the river, Sulphur River. And they said, oh, we know how to raise money for the church. We'll have a dance down there on that slab, you know. Well, anyway, you get an idea what these people. So this little old lady, a sweet little lady, she was a grandmother to my kids. But she was up leading testimony service. This woman got up and said, everybody in here is saved. And we don't have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit. She's just telling all this stuff. She said that. So the little lady leading the test got real nervous, and I just went up and patted her and said, you can go sit down. And I opened my Bible and I started preaching. You know what? Well, she stands up and starts arguing with me. And I asked her to sit down, but she wouldn't sit down. I had to be careful because her husband was about this tall. And it's just a fiasco. Now, I have to say this. I bit the bait, okay? I did better off if I kept my mouth shut. This went on with the service. You may not agree with that, but I bit the bait. We lost half the church that night. And so I asked people to stand in the crowd. I don't remember how it was, but so she kind of falls on the floor, and she's laying there, and she gets her Bible, puts it on her chest, and straightens her dress up. And those women think the Holy Ghost is on her. And they start hollering and shouting. And I thought, whoa, what is this? And I'm young, and I got a lot to learn, but all I remember is, no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. So I get down there and say, is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus Lord? I don't see if she said that. Well, I don't remember if she ever did or not, but I thought that's the way you did it. But after a while, she starts speaking in a tongue. So, whoa, you know. But she just said you don't have to speak in tongues. And I tell you what, you talk about those women had a hallelujah hold. Oh, she got the Holy Ghost. No, she didn't have the Holy Ghost. She did not have the Holy Ghost. And she proved she didn't have the Holy Ghost. But as she walked out, and half the church had left. I mean, they left. And so as she walked out, she took my hand and smiled. I'm praying for you, Brother Benson. Well, that just tells you everything right there, you know. And, well, praise God. I don't even know why, but you need to hear that. Look, Revelation, folks. Is the level of revelation we're seeing one of discovering Him, His form, His nature, His character, His personality? What pleases Him or displeases Him? Do you really know what pleases Him? When you're going through the day, do you get checked by the Spirit of God on some things you're saying or doing? You're running your mouth, the Holy Spirit checks you. Do you stop or do you keep running your mouth? You know? I'll give one time we were working on the new church, and I made a commitment to God that when He called me to prayer, I'd go. Well, He did. And I had to go to the old building and in there to pray. I said, well, just a minute. Let me finish this. That's what I said. To the Lord, to the Holy Ghost. You're saying things to Him too. If He's talking to you. Well, 15 minutes later, I realized, I didn't feel the call, the pull, of the Holy Spirit. I knew I messed up. I threw my tools down, ran over there. He wasn't there. And He didn't come either. Not that day. See, when He means more to us than anything, We get very careful, very sensitive to hearing Him. Amen. You husbands have been married a while, and you wives, aren't you sensitive to your mate? Don't you know when you're agitating them or when they're happy? Don't you? Come on now, don't you know that? Maybe you don't care. I don't know. better. If Mammy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Praise God. Are we discovering His voice? I mean, the various tones of His voice. Are we discovering His very breath? I mean, we sing the chorus, "Let Him breathe on me," John 20:22. And when He said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive you the Holy Ghost." Are we coming close enough that we're discovering His very heartbeat as we lean on His breast like John did? Are we discovering His purity and His holiness? Are we discovering His great love for us? You'll come to know that He loves you more than anyone on the face of the earth.
Amen.
You know, some people say only a mother could love that child. Well, sometimes only God could love us. You know, it's just that. Is the Lord coming into our heart's door knocking? Listen, He doesn't come to everyone. Don't you take that for granted. Don't you take that lightly if He's talking to you. Are you letting Him into your heart and your life so that He can manifest Himself to you in fellowship? Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." Praise God. Is a manifestation we're finding one of man's design? Or is it the direct and open revelation in us by the Holy Ghost? I don't have a screen in our church where I show videos and pictures while I'm preaching. Why would you do that when you could have the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Why would you do those things? We don't have a smoke machine. They have one now. One time they turned it up. I was sitting back there. I didn't know this was coming. I was in Mexico. And they turned off the lights. And they had on these colored lights and strobe light. They moved all the chairs back. And they were dancing and hollering. The music so loud it's shaking that building. And they were doing, I called it the choo-choo train. They put their hands on the shoulders of one in front of them. They had their shoulders and they're all going around like this, you know, wherever the engine goes, I guess, the locomotive. And then they really got to go and they turned on that smoke machine. They had too much in it. I started coughing. I couldn't breathe. I had to go outside. I said, "Oh my God. Oh my Lord." You know, I'd be afraid to do that. Isn't that getting real close to that strange fire and those two suns incense? Isn't that getting awful close to that? My God, help us. If there's a light comes in here, I want it to be the Holy Ghost, not something we're doing in here. And I thank God they don't do that. But is it a manifestation we're finding one of men's design? Or is it the direct and open revelation in us by the Holy Spirit? You know, when He's revealing Himself in you, and you have this fellowship with Him and this love affair with Him, it's just not that important what anybody else is doing. It doesn't matter whether the Dallas Cowboys win or lose. It doesn't matter any of that. It just doesn't matter. We're complete in Him. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. The reward of deliverance. Psalm 91:14, "Because He set His love on me, therefore I will deliver him. And I will set him on high because he has known my name." Let me read that again. "Because He has set His love on me, I will deliver him." If you're in here this morning and you really love Him, I mean you really love Him, you're proving it. You're proving, because we have to prove. You get to say it. He will deliver you. He will. What kind of God would He be that wouldn't deliver you? "He shall call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." And it's all because we set His love on him. Now let me ask you, is the Lord not answering you? Is He not delivering you? Is He not honoring you? If this is true, it's because you've not set your love upon him. Love is not an emotion. It's a rational choice we make, isn't it? You choose to love. Brother Clinton, one time this old couple came to him for counsel. Now, he wouldn't regularly do that. He said, "I'm going to counsel you. I'm going to stand up here and preach. You're going to sit down there and listen. That's all the counseling I'm doing. But this old couple got in somehow, and they said, well, we just fell out of love. We don't love each other anymore. We're going to get a divorce. He said, well, I'll tell you how to fix that. Just fall back in love. It's a choice, folks. It's a choice. You know, last time my wife made me so mad I couldn't see straight. One time I was in the first church I pastored, I was sitting out there, and I was thinking about what I was going to go back in there and tell her. That's right, I was getting it all together. I was sitting on the porch of the church. We lived in a little mobile home there. And so I was sitting there thinking, all of a sudden this scripture came to me. Husbands, despise not your wives. Did you know that's in the Bible? I didn't know it was in the Bible. But the Holy Ghost brought the husbands. In fact, I went and got a concordance to make sure I, you know. And husbands despise not. I mean, he got me. He got me. Praise God. It's a choice. You can choose to love them or not love them. You can choose. You choose to love God or not to love God. Don't give me this, oh, I don't feel it. Why are you living by your feelings? Your feelings are up and down. If we love, it's because we choose to do so. If we hate, it's because we choose to hate. You know, loving God will give you confidence. We know that all things work together for good to them that love Him, to them that are called according to His purpose. The reward of revelations of the deep things of God, 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Hallelujah. Well, God's not talking to you. Well, maybe it's because you don't love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The reward of a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love His appearing. Now some may be disappointed in a crown that's only made of righteousness. They wanted a material crown of gold or precious jewels. But what is that? What is that compared to a crown of righteousness? Now, it's not just appearing in the end time. You understand that at the end. But He appearing to us daily. They love His appearing. Oh, I want to hear from You today, Lord. I want to spend time in Your presence. I want You to reveal Yourself in me by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Love His appearing. Ongoing appearance. We are to come to church for the express purpose of Him appearing.
Yeah.
Praise God. And this is the way I feel. If we come and He doesn't appear, then it wasn't a successful service. I don't care how much money you took up, how big the crowd was, how many joined the church or whatever. It's all about Him. Not about us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Let's see. I'm going to finish this up. The reward of the crown of life. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Then there's the reward of His inheritance. James 2:5. Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which He's promised to them that love Him? The reward of overcoming the accuser. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now comes salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused Him before day and night, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. Oh, praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Well, will you, let's bow our heads first. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask You to speak to our hearts today. Thank You for this beautiful, wonderful crowd, Father. These very precious people. Precious in Your sight. From the oldest to the youngest. Youngest to the oldest. Whatever color we are, whatever background we have, whatever nationality, Lord. Whatever our hurts are, our pains, our regrets, our wounds, our failures. You really love us. Praise God. Praise God. You know, the Lord says this right now. Did you think I quit loving you because you failed me? Praise His name. Praise His name. Oh, I thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, speak to our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.
End of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.